Amen. You guys ready for the word this morning? All right, well, let's get to it. Everyone, do me a favor. Go ahead and open up your Bibles and turn to Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:23. When you get there, say amen. Man, y'all are fast. If you ain't there yet, say hold on, hold on. Come on, people. Come on. If you don't have it, that's all right. We got it up on the screen here. Before we begin, let me go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Is that okay? All right, we'll do that. Well, Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to come before you to hear a word from you, oh God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each one of us, oh God. Open our hearts to hear your words. Father, incline our ears today. Oh God, I pray that each one of us would coerce, would force our ear to hear your word. And Father, I ask that the words that come out of my mouth would not only be my own, oh God, but that they would be yours. Father, we pray this in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, everybody got Colossians 3:23? All right, do me a favor. Everyone go ahead and stand for the reading of the word. You've been standing this whole time, singing and dancing and moving your feet. All right. We got one, praise God. All right. All right, Colossians 3:23. All right, here's what I want you to do. Once you find it, y'all already ready. I don't even got to tell you. For those of you that don't know yet, go ahead and put your finger in your Bible. Put your ribbon in there. If you need to, put your neighbor's leg in there. But hold your spot, okay? Because we're going to read our Bible affirmation. Y'all ready? All right, let's do it. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. Let's say that one last, that will change my life forever. Who's ready to get their life changed forever today? Amen. All right, now while you're standing, everybody, all the kids in the front just sat down. While you're standing, let's go ahead and read God's word loudly and together. In unity. Now, here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to charge the atmosphere here with God's word. Can you do that for me this morning? Can we do that? All right, let's do it then. Now, today we're going to be reading out of the New King James Version. If you don't have the New King James Version, that's all right. There's a lot of great versions that are out there. But we have it already up on the screen, so please do me a favor. Follow along so that we all sound like we're saying the same words in unity. Is that okay? All right. Amen. Everybody ready? All right, let's read together Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Do me a favor. Go ahead and read that one more time since it's so short. Ready? And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Amen. Before you're seated, do me a favor. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you a minister? Turn to your other neighbor, ask him, are you a minister? Are you a minister? You may be seated this morning. Are you a minister? Because you look like a minister today. You look like a minister today. The title of my message today is called Called to Ministry. Called to Ministry. By the end of today's message, I want you to recognize that if you're a Christian, by the way, how many Christians I got in the house today? Raise your hand. If you're a Christian, what that means is I am a little Christ, that I am a little anointed one. If that's who you are, then you've been called to full-time ministry. You've been called to full-time ministry. What you talking about, Deacon Alex? Called to full-time ministry. I'm an engineer. I'm a child care provider. I'm a medical assistant. I'm an analyst. This is what I went to school for. What are you talking about? I'm a full-time ministry? Don't you know that they don't pay in full-time ministry jobs? Are you crazy? Right? But I want you to know that you have all been called to full-time ministry. Each and every one of you. You two kids. You have all been called to be a full-time minister. And today I'm going to prove to you through scripture what the word has to say about what it means to be called to minister. Are we okay with that? All right, amen. Now our background text that we read in Colossians, Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul. Paul is writing to the Christian believers in Colossae. Now in this chapter, the chapter that we're reading, chapter 3, Paul is encouraging believers to not just be Christians, to not just say, hey, I have a label, I have a title, and that's who I am. He's saying, I want you to live out a life of Christianity. Because oftentimes, we were raised as, I'm a Christian. We've been to church. Any one of you guys were drug babies? Drug babies, you were drugged to church, drug out of church. Everybody here, drug in and out of church, right? Yeah, some of us have been there, right? Drug in and out, back and forth, drug from meeting to meeting. I feel sorry for my kids because I know they drug babies. They just drug in and drug out everywhere. We just, man, it's rough, right? But we've all been called. And you know what? You know, we've been living a life and calling ourselves Christian. But Paul is saying, I don't want you to just call yourself a Christian. I want you to live a life that's righteous of being called a Christian. I want you that when people see you and they don't know what the Bible is, that they can read the Bible from your actions, that they can know what integrity looks like, because in your life, that's what it's full of. And so he encourages these Colossians to say, look, there's a lifestyle here that I want you to understand, that I want you to get. And he tells them in verse 2, he says, I want you to set your mind. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. He says, I want you to set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. He's saying, don't be distracted by the business of this world. Because some of us can get distracted by the busyness of this world. We can get distracted by the busyness of our children, by the busyness of our homework, by the busyness of our school, the busyness of our jobs. And what he's saying is, I don't want you to be distracted. Don't focus on those things that are worldly business, because that's not what you're here for. He says, I want you to set your mind, your thoughts, your will, your emotions on kingdom business. Focus them on heaven. Now he continues in verse 5, and he says, he begins to prepare them and say, now in order to do that, you need to get rid of some stuff. Get rid of some evilness, get rid of some wickedness, get rid of some disobedience, because you have a higher calling. Today I want you guys to recognize, each and every one of you that are in here, you have a higher calling. God is calling us to something more. He's calling us to something more. And in verse 16, Paul continues and he says, now let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Watch this. He's telling Christians, I want you to know, want you to have the word in you so that you could be teaching and admonishing. Now, what that word means, teaching, it literally means to give instruction or to explain. If you've ever happened to give instruction to someone, if you've ever had to explain something to someone, you're a teacher. You're teaching something. And then he says, I want you to not just teach, but I want you to admonish. I want you to admonish, which means to urge, to warn, to encourage. If you're a Christian, here's what Paul's saying. I need you to not just be a label. I want you to be teaching. Your calling is to be admonishing, to be warning, to be urging, to be convincing. Paul continues over and over it to say in the word that my job is to convince you of the gospel. It isn't just to bring it over your head and bash it. It's to convince you of the truth of the gospel. And you know what? The only way that we could do that in our lives is if our lives are living like as if we know the gospel. Right? Now, before we go any further, I want to clarify some things with you. Because as full-time Christians, we're called to be in full-time ministry, to be full-time ministers, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden tomorrow you're pastor. You're working in the church office, right? I don't want my message to be confused with, well, now Deacon Alex is telling me that I gotta go find a job at a church somewhere. Right? Now he's telling me I gotta be a pastor. I gotta go to seminary school. I gotta go and start studying how to lead a church. That's not what I'm telling you. Because even without a title, even without the title pastor, even without the title leader, you've still been called to full-time ministry. You've still been called to full-time ministry. And that's my first point. My first point is that we're all called to minister for the Lord. We're all called to minister for the Lord. Colossians 3:23, the verse that we opened up with, it says, and whatever you do, if you have your own Bibles, do me a favor, go ahead and underline whatever you do. Whatever you do. Go ahead and underline that. Now, what does whatever you do encompass? Everything. Everything. Get rid of the H. I'm Puerto Rican, so in Spanish, we don't say a lot of words. We just kind of mash them all together sometimes. So sometimes I got to bring that rule into English. It says do everything, everything. It doesn't just say church stuff. Because oftentimes what we think is we're going to do everything heartily unto the Lord that's church stuff, that's ministry stuff, I'm going to be on time to serve. But on Monday morning, when my boss tells me to be out there at 8 a.m., I got a real hard time giving heartily unto the Lord my job. My school, watch this. Whatever you do includes school. Whatever you do includes school. It includes our families. I love what the Amplified Version has to say, because it says, whatever may be your task, whatever may be your job, it says, work at it heartily. That word heartily means from the soul, with all your life force, with everything that you have, with everything that gives you breath. Work at it as something done for the Lord. As something done for the Lord. Heartily. Do me a favor. Go ahead and underline that word heartily. And it's not, man, I can hardly wait to leave today. Man, I can hardly wait for this message to be over. I can hardly wait for summertime to show up. It's heartily. Heartily. Underline the word heartily. Now that word, as I said, it means from the soul. That word is translated in Greek as with all your breath. I love this meaning. It says with all the vital force that animates your body. With all the muscles and all the thought and all everything that's within you. That's how I want you to serve unto the Lord. Everything that I do, I need to use all my gifts, all my talents, all my muscle, everything that I have, the word says, Paul is saying and encouraging us, do that unto the Lord. It says, and as something done or a service or a ministry to the Lord and not to men. Amen? Amen. Ministry is not just service in the church. It doesn't mean that you're teaching. It doesn't mean that you have to preach. It doesn't mean that you're leading a youth group. It doesn't mean that you're a marriage leader, right? It doesn't, that's not what I'm not trying to get there. Every job or task that you do, Paul says, everything that you do, everything, do it as if it were ministry unto the Lord. Colossians 3:22, just right above it says, bondservants. He says bondservants. And guess what? Bondservants, we think when we read something like this, I ain't no bondservant. I know slave. If you're working and you have to work because you got a paid job, guess what? You have been bonded to your bills. The moment that you have been freed from having to pay a bill, having to pay a mortgage, having to pay a rent, having to pay a phone bill, you are no longer a bondservant. Until then, sorry, boo. Y'all are bondservants. Okay? You have been bonded to payment. You have been bonded. You are in bondage to payment. And because of that, you need to continue going to our jobs. I can't wake up one day and all of a sudden say, you know what? Man, I just want to stay home for the rest of the month. It would be sure enough nice, though. Right? But he says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters, your bosses, your supervisors, according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. You know, for some, not anyone in here, okay? So I'm not talking about anybody in here, all right? I hope not. The only time for some that they start performing at their jobs, I already heard someone say it, right? Is when they have an evaluation popping up, right? When they have a promotion that's all of a sudden in the works. Eye service. Man, I'm gonna look real good, right? Most of the time, they show up to work late. None of y'all do that, right? No one here. No. Okay, right. They have an attitude with their boss. No one here. Okay? They leave early, and they dare somebody to say something. I dare her to say something. Let her say something. 5 o'clock clock out, but it's 4:45, and I'm outie, right? And they're downright mean to their coworkers. Anybody got coworkers like that? Don't raise your hand. Just in case you work with somebody else around here that anybody got a coworker like that? If you do, just say, right? When their pay raise comes on the line, though, all of a sudden, right, they show up on time, good attitude. Right? They leave later. 5 o'clock is clock out time. I'm leaving at 5:30 today. I got things to do. So busy, right? All of a sudden, they break their necks. All of a sudden, right? And then, now nobody in here would do this, but then they have the nerve to say, yep, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I can't wait. I love worship. But watch this. They have absolutely no integrity in their lives, in the work that they do, in the job performance. That behind closed doors, there's no integrity. Paul says he discourages eye service. He says, don't be man pleasers, but in sincerity do it. In sincerity do it. What you do and how you do it speaks value. Listen to me. What you do and how you do it, people will begin to look at your lives and say, man, I want whatever that person has. As Christians, we should be excellent in everything that we do. We should be excellent in everything that we do. It should be a joy to have you on a team. It should be a joy to have you show up at work. I have this gentleman that works at where I'm at, and he sets up the phones at our desks. And so whenever we move, he comes around and he sets up the phones. And I have no idea what his name is. I don't even know what he believes in. But he comes in with a joy and a smile. And it's just, there's something about him that I'm like, man, I want to know him. I want to know what he's got. He comes in and he does his job. He does it on time. He does it as soon as it needs to be done. He does it with a smile. He never comes in grudgingly. And there's something that's so special about having someone like that around. It brings a smile to my face to see him coming around and interacting with people that I don't know. Because I know that they're in for a treat. To know that they get an opportunity to interact with this gentleman. Shouldn't each one of us have that same kind of spirit that flows out of us? That same excellent spirit, that joyful spirit? What you do speaks volume to you. Treat your job like it's your ministry to the Lord. Because it is. Because it is. Because people will come to you and they'll see something different and they'll say, what's different about you? I want some of that. They'll come and have a problem and you'll say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? I've done this with atheists, with Buddhists, with Muslims, with Mormons. Never once have I ever offered for prayer and been turned down by any one of those groups before. In a job that doesn't necessarily encourage Christianity, that definitely encourages separation of church and state or church and whatever, because we ain't the state, we're a public organization. But still, it's not a place that encourages Christianity, but I get an opportunity to share my faith with them when they're going through troubles and tribulations, when they're going through problems. Can I pray for you? Tell me a little bit about your uncle. What's his name? Can I pray for him? And then I'll come back on the backside whenever it was. He's got a surgery. It's on Thursday? All right, I'll come back on Thursday. Hey, how's your uncle doing? And that speaks volume to them. Wow, I can't believe he remembered that. I can't believe that he cares enough to stop what he's doing and pray for me right now. I want more of that. I want more of that. Now, I want you to take a look, because as we're going through our jobs, it may not seem like we're doing ministry on a day-to-day basis, and we may not get the opportunity to share Christ or to pray for someone, but God is preparing you for your next ministry assignment through what he's doing to you right now. And I want to show you some biblical examples of people that did exactly that, that in their jobs, they served as if they were serving unto the Lord. The first one is Moses. Moses was a shepherd in the desert for 40 years. For 40 years, he led sheep. He went from being a prince of Egypt, from being entitled, privileged, everything that he ever wanted, to being dropped down into nobody, into nothingness. Nobody remembered Moses now that he became a shepherd. No one remembers a shepherd. But during those 40 years, I'm sure Moses had a lot of questions, like most of us. God, I don't even know why you have me in this job. I don't even know why I'm putting so much effort into this thing. God, I don't even know why you put me around these people. I've got to have so much patience to be around these folks. Right? All the while Moses was in this situation, God was preparing him for the life that he was going to be living in the desert. with a different group that he needed to lead. And all that training that he had those 40 years prepared him. It became handy. He learned stuff like how to find water in a desert. He learned stuff like how to make sleeping arrangements for a lot of things, a lot of people, right? He learned about wildlife. He learned about plant life. You name it. All those 40 years that he spent out there, God was preparing him. Kids in school, God is preparing you for your next assignment. Sometimes that's in obedience because he's moving you into something else. Intellectually, in growth when it comes to PE and in stature, in favor with God and with man, all these things that we're doing, God is preparing us for our next mission. Joseph is another example. Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers. That's wrong. Man, that's just wrong. But watch this. He ends up being a servant in Potiphar's house. We know the story of Potiphar. Now, because of Joseph's integrity and his work ethic, Potiphar noticed this. And he said, you know what? I trust you so much. I want you to handle all my affairs for me. Handle everything. The money, the house, my maidservants, everyone, my manservants. Handle them all. You're in charge of them. That's how much I trust you because I see so much integrity in you. You show up on time. You don't ever give me attitude. You do what I tell you to do. You know what? I'm going to put you over these people. And so he's in charge of all of the house's affairs. Now, Potiphar's wife later has Joseph thrown in jail because he was deflecting her advances. That's as far as I'm going to roll with that one. Because I could easily cross the line and then we would be in big trouble. Now watch this. While in an Egyptian jail, he becomes a valuable administrator of the jailhouse. And because of Joseph's integrity and all of the administrative training that he got at Potiphar's house and at the jail, God later used him, elevated him into a position where he was able to preserve God's people. Because Joseph was moved into a position to be second in leadership in Egypt. And he was given the opportunity to set aside a land for God's people, to set aside food for God's people. Now, if it wasn't for the training that he had had, and by the way, that training didn't happen all of a sudden. It took about 11 years for him to be in Potiphar's house, about 2 years locked up. That's 13 years before he ever got a chance to step in to the next assignment that God had for him. It wasn't immediate. And it didn't look like it was ever going to change what he was doing. But God was preparing him for that next assignment. You know, God called upon those skills that he had built in their jobs when he was ready to use them. Here's the problem with most of us, is that we don't put into action all of these gifts that God has given us in integrity. And then God calls us all of a sudden. And we're not ready and we're not prepared. He calls us all of a sudden into a different assignment and we're not ready for it. But, and if they've never had developed those skills and hadn't done it heartily unto the Lord, they would have never been into the position to lead where God needed them to lead. Most of us have a calling on our lives. Every one of you here are called to lead something. Whether it's in your family, whether it's in your class, whether it's at your job, whether it was your dog or your kitty cat, all of us have dominion over something, have leadership over something. And God is preparing us in our jobs and in school, in those rough times, to have the patience and the skill to lead what he's called us to lead. That brings me to my second point. We need to grow those skills. It doesn't just happen. I heard a really great quote. And I sure hope I can say it properly. Skills don't grow with time. Listen to me again. Skills don't grow with time. If all of a sudden I one day say, I really want to be a surgeon, I'm just going to sit right here and wait until it happens. There is no way that you would ever want me to do any surgery on you, right? Man, it's been about 26 years I've been thinking about this. Give me a knife. Come here. I'll take care of that appendicitis. It doesn't happen that way. And sometimes that's what we do. We sit around without any goals, without any idea of what we want next or where God is moving us or what God has been preparing us for. And so we just wait. Well, I know God has got something for me. I'll just sit right here. Okay, God, it's been about 26 minutes. All right. And as Christians, we should be reflecting the excellence of God. This is why we should be growing in our skills, because we should be reflecting the excellence of God. God didn't just put sloppiness together and then expect excellence out of it. He prepared for excellence. And when we look around us, the mountains, the animals, it's excellent. It's excellent. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, number one, in whatever job you have, watch this, be the best. Be the best. Whether you like your job or not, whether you like your boss or not, it doesn't matter. Distinguish yourself. I go back to Joseph. Joseph distinguished himself regardless of the situation that he was in, regardless of his boss, regardless of his boss's lady, regardless of the people that were around him, because he was in prison with prisoners. Now, just a little tip here. If you've been in prison with other prisoners, it's because they did something just as wrong or more wrong than what you did. So the folks that he was around weren't folks that he probably had a glorious relationship with. Joseph had a rough time being a young man in a prison and then being elevated to where he was. It wasn't easy for him to step into that position. But through that, God continued to use him and grow him in the skills of administration so that when he was ready to finally use him to save his people, boom, Joseph was ready. Joseph was ready. The second thing, be preparing yourself for the next position. Be preparing yourself for the next position. What does that look like? Sometimes that looks like, well, when you're working for God, you should be doing things better all the time in integrity. That's how I prepare myself, is by doing all the things. Growing my skills also includes asking the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom. Asking the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach. Who gives it to liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him. God says, look, if you want something more and you want to grow and you need the wisdom for that, ask me. Ask me. Because oftentimes, here's what happens, is that we just sit around and we have no idea what the next assignment is. We have no idea what the next thing is to do. And God says, listen, if you need that wisdom, ask me. Begin to call out to me and ask me what that is. Don't Google it, right? Don't call me now. Ask me, God is saying. Ask me for wisdom. Ask me for wisdom. 2 Chronicles 2:5. 2 Chronicles 2:5. Now, in 2 Chronicles, we see where Solomon is building a temple. We see where Solomon is building a temple. And he says in 2:5, and the temple which I build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods. He said, I'm going to build a temple, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. And I love what he says in verse 7, because he begins to ask. He says, therefore, send me at once a skillful man to work in gold and in silver, in bronze and iron, in purple and crimson and blue, who has skill to engrave with the skillful men who are with me in Judah, in Jerusalem, whom David my father provided. The term that's used here for skillful can be translated as learned. Learned, or someone who spent their time to learn a skill, to pick up a trade, to pick up a trade. Solomon didn't just want anyone to come in to build a temple. God doesn't just want anyone to come and build his church. He wants skilled workers who are able to bring excellence. The second way we could do it, watch this, get a mentor. Get a mentor. Joseph, or rather Moses, had his father-in-law. His father-in-law was the one who gave him the job to be a shepherd. Jethro was the one who gave him this position to be a shepherd. And all throughout the time that Moses needed a little bit of help and a little bit of guidance, Jethro, what should I do? I've got all these 2 million people now, and they're all coming to me for help, and they're coming to me to judge, and they're coming to me for these very frivolous things. Jethro, what should I do? He says. So Jethro says, begin to do this. Out of the wisdom that he had, begin to do this. Proverbs 12:15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Wisdom comes through counsel. Wisdom comes through counsel. You know, when it comes to being a skillful person, for those of you that are in carpentry or in some apprentice type job, there's an apprentice, there's a journeyman, and then there's a master, right? And those are built in those jobs so that you could grow in your skill, so that when you're ready to move on to the next level, and it takes some time to be there, you've been trained properly by the one that was above you. You've had wise counsel. Now, unfortunately, not everyone gets the opportunity to have that kind of set growth. We start in our jobs as medical assistants, and boom, that's all we're doing. We finish our jobs, or we finish our training, and then that's it. And God is saying, no, wait. I know that you're a medical assistant. I know that you're a banker. I know that you're an engineer, but I need you to continue to be growing. Put someone there that could mentor you in growing in that. For some of us, it's motherhood or fatherhood. To have a mentor there to teach me how to do some of these things a little better, to grow me. The third thing is get trained or instructed. Proverbs 4:13 says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Take hold firm of instruction. Many of us have been fighting going back to school or trying to get to the next level because, man, I can't do it, and I don't even know what God has for me. Watch this. To grow in your skill, sometimes we need to go back for instruction. Sometimes we need to go back to grow in the area that God has called us. Right? And then watch this. And this is my third point, is that God will use our skills to build the church. God will use our skills to build the church. Watch what Solomon did. Because Solomon called skilled workers, not for show, not because he all of a sudden needed folks around him. He called them because he wanted them to build a magnificent temple for the Lord. God will use our workplace skills to build the church. Now watch this. The people that he called, these skilled workers, all of a sudden didn't overnight pick up this skill. In fact, they worked, and their livelihood was being skillful in gold and silver. My livelihood is in engineering or coding or in facilities management or in childcare. Now, these are my livelihood skills, right? And now, what Solomon said was, all those folks who are really good at that and their livelihood skill, I want them to come and join the folks that are building my temple. Oftentimes, we fail to recognize that what we're doing for our livelihood is preparing us to continue to build God's church. Some of us have been trainers. Some of us have been educators. Some of us have been marketers. And so then we come into church and we say, well, there's nothing here for me because I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher, right? I don't do that. But listen to me. All of a sudden, a temple needed to get built, and people that were skilled and in their livelihood, it required them to learn this thing. He now needed to use them at that point. I want you, just real quick, I want to show you a video, and it won't take very long. Now, this video is, I attended this, it's called a hackathon. Now, for those of y'all don't know, I'm an engineer. I'm a software engineer. And hackathons, I love them. It's basically you stay up for 48 hours straight, and you code. Yeah, it's really nerdy, I know. I shouldn't even be saying this out loud from the stage. My full-time job, my full-time ministry is in software development. And I got this chance to basically bind what I love at work with what I love in ministry. And it was something called Code for the Kingdom. And it was a group of a bunch of nerdy, just downright, we didn't know how to dress. We just had laptops and a silly smile. And one goal, which is to build tools to grow the kingdom. And so this unification of these two things that I love now in one room was amazing. But one of the things I want to show you is that I met a gentleman. His name was Pat Gelsinger. Now, Pat Gelsinger, so y'all know, if you've never heard the name, he's the CEO of VMware. VMware is a cloud computing software, blah, 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 blah. Company. Before he was ever that, he was the chief technology officer for Intel, and before he ever did that, he was the lead inventor and the lead designer for the 386 microprocessor, the 486 microprocessor. Wake up, stay awake. Everybody's like, 386, 40. The Pentium, the Pentium Pro, the Pentium 2, the Pentium 3, the Pentium 4, the Xeon, the i5, the i7, all. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, good. I know I'm in Silicon Valley then. Pat Gelsinger was the guy that led the design of these microchips. Now, that's not even the incredible thing. The incredible thing is that he is a believer. He is a diehard believer, a Christian. And I want you to hear just a small, about a one-minute snippet from his keynote that he gave to us at this Code for the Kingdom. Can you do me a favor? Go ahead and hit the lights and turn that up, y'all. Sound booth, turn it up. No, nothing? Anything? No sound? Oh, man. That just ain't right. All right, well, I'll just ad-lib as he's talking. Hi, my name is Pat Gelsinger, and no. What he's saying is as you're here this weekend, I want you to recognize that you have a full-time ministry. He's saying that I am the chief executive officer of VMware. I have 17,000 employees that are there. My calling is to be a senior pastor of a congregation at VMware of 17,000 congregants. My job there is to grow people, to encourage them. Now, this is a CEO in a Silicon Valley publicly traded company who is saying, my job is to be a senior pastor of the folks that I lead. How many of us, go ahead and turn the lights on. How many of us have the same authority to say, you know what? I'm a senior pastor of the folks that I lead over right now. My ministry that I have right now may just consist of two folks that I work alongside. But you know what? I deacon the heck out of it. I pastor the heck out of those relationships, right? I serve like nobody's business because God has called me to serve these people. Pat Gelsinger is amazing because what he says is, you know what? I built core truths and principles into our business. Most of them being biblical principles. In fact, all of them being biblical principles. He says, above all of them, integrity is the number one that I call for all my employees. Integrity is what I call for all my employees. Openness, he says. Thoughtfulness. He said, those are the kinds of core truths that I learn as a Christian that I try to live out. And I can't encourage my 17,000 congregants if I don't have that in myself. If I don't have that in myself. Today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that listen, even if you're not serving in the church, if you're not up here preaching, if you're not in the back teaching some kids, if you're not serving in a position where you're leading, you're still in full-time ministry in the job that God has called you to. I want you to go out this week and do it heartily unto the Lord. I want you to recognize that what God has placed in you is a ministry. Sometimes it's in carpentry. Sometimes it's in construction. Sometimes it's in setting up a phone, in banking. But you're interacting with people and they're saying, I want some of that. I want some of that. And I want to encourage you to be that. Amen? Some people don't read the Bible. In fact, a lot of people here in the Bay Area don't read the Bible. A lot of people in the Bay Area don't read the Bible. But watch this. Every single one of them is reading us. And what oozes out of us is what they're going to say. Yeah, I can't believe that. I don't trust that. What's your testimony in your ministry today? Amen? Do me a favor. Go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand. If you're ready for your calling, I want you to do me a favor. Go ahead and give your neighbor a high five and tell him, I'm ready for my calling. We are called to ministry. Watch this. We need to grow our skills. And God will use our skills to build the church. If you're ready to move in your ministry, you need to step forward and do that today. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, God, to know that you didn't just call us to just be day-to-day workers. God, you didn't just call us to show up in one place and not grow. God, you called us to something greater. Father, today we take a stand and we say, Lord, that our ministry is at our jobs, oh God. The skill that you've given us, oh Lord, Father, we give it to you today, oh God. The people that you've placed, oh God, in my circle of influence, Lord, I pray that you would show me how to minister to that. God, I pray, Lord, that in every day task that I do, Lord, that I focus him on you. That all my soul, all my emotion, all my will, Father, that it would be done unto you today. Lord, forgive us for not being excellent in the positions that you've called us to. Father, forgive us, O Lord, for showing up late. Father, forgive us for oozing a spirit that isn't of you, O God. But today, God, we take a stand. Lord, today, Father, we proclaim that you have called us to minister, that you have called us to full-time ministry in our jobs today. Father, as an engineer, as a contractor, oh God. Father, as a carpenter, as a childcare worker. Father, as an analyst. Lord, we give it to you today. God, we pray, Lord, that you would show us and give us the wisdom to move in the ministry you've called us to, oh God. Lord, we give our lives away to you today. And we ask, God, that you would move us in a mighty way. Lord, we declare and we proclaim this in your name. Everyone do me a favor, say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do me a favor, give somebody another high five today.